الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد الشريعة أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, being the day after Eid, Eid al-Adha at that and yesterday, much of the talks in the masajid surrounded the sacrifice of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in submission to the will of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he set out to sacrifice his one and only son at that time. Today I would like to speak, being day after Eid, coming close to what we in South Africa have, a holiday season. So I thought instead of a specific topic, I would like to speak on a personality today. And the reason why we speak about great people of the past is to be inspired by their example. That's the reason why we speak about the people of the past. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran has made mention, وَكُلًّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُعَادَكَ. Allah says one of the reasons why Allah has made mention of the incident of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam in the Quran is to strengthen your iman. So one of the reasons why we make mention of the incidents of people and personalities is by making mention of those personalities, we have a resolve to follow in their footsteps and it strengthens our iman the way the Quranic ayat I have recited. Away from the Quranic ayat, there is a very famous saying of Edward Burke who said that that particular nation will never be able to look to the future with happiness and prosperity who do not look at their past, who do not look at the history. So we are bound from time to time to look at our history, the good and the bad, and we take lessons and we draw inspiration. Today the personality I would like to speak about is the second Khalif of Islam, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And there are many lessons that we learn from the life of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu came from the very famous Arabian tribe known as the Adi tribe. He was born in the common era 583, some 9 years after, 9 or 10 years after the birth of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He meets up with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his genealogy on an 8th generation. And much is not known about the youth of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, other than he was a very famous wrestler in his tribe. He was known for his physical strength, and he was known to overcome people in wrestling. He was also a very good orator in his early days. He was amongst the very few people in the early days of Islam who knew how to read and write. When Islam came into existence, it is also known that Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was amongst the foremost people against Islam. He was known for his animosity. He was known for his opposition to Islam to such an extent that Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayh in his kitab Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya has written a very amazing incident just to show you his animosity about Islam. He says a young couple who accepted Islam, persecuted by the people of Makkah, were leaving Makkah because they could not practice Islam freely. They could not practice Islam freely. So because of that, they were on their way out of Makkah. They had left their goods at one place and the woman was sitting there when the husband went to go and fetch something else from Makkah. So Umar ibn Khattab passed by this particular couple. And they asked the woman, where are you going? So the woman defiantly said, you people have made it difficult for us to practice Islam. We are leaving Makkah. We can't stay in Makkah. So Umar ibn Khattab said, may Allah protect you. So when the husband came back, the wife said, I saw an amazing thing. For the first time I heard Umar saying, may Allah protect you. When I told him we are leaving Islam, we're leaving Makkah because we can't practice Islam. Perhaps there is a softening in his heart for Islam. Now why I'm relating this incident is to show his animosity, how well it was known in Makkah. So the husband said, what are you talking about, softening is towards Islam? The donkey of Khattab can perhaps accept Islam, the son of Khattab can't accept Islam. Such was his known animosity towards Islam. And a week or two after this, an incident takes place which is well known in the annals of Islamic history and the annals of human history. That after this particular incident, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, seeing the growing strength of Islam, could not bear it. So he decided one day that I'm going to kill and exterminate the founder of Islam, our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he unsheathed his sword and he was going for this particular objective. On his way, seeing his rapid strides, knowing his fiery temper, looking at the resolve in his heart as he's going for something, one Muslim, Nu'aym bin Abdullah, asked him, "Oh Umar, where are you going to?" He said, "No, Muhammad is starting to create a division within us. I want to today exterminate and I want to assassinate him so that we people of Makkah no more have this particular problem." Seeing his resolve, Nu'aym bin Abdullah tried to deflect his attention and said, "Where are you going towards Muhammad? Where are you going towards Muhammad? Go and look at your own family." So he said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Your sister recently has accepted Islam." In a blind fury and rage and anger, Umar left his objective and went towards the house of his sister. The moment he came in, he heard them overreading and he overheard them reading the Quran. So in this blind fury and rage and anger, he came down and he started beating his sister to such an extent that blood started gushing from her face. And after all, she was also the sister of Umar. And she said, "Oh Umar, you can do whatever you want. We have accepted Islam and we are prepared to die upon Islam. Do whatever you want." Seeing his sister in such a situation, he started feeling ashamed. And he said, "What were you reading before I came?" He said, "No, we were reading the Quran, but you can't touch it until you wash and cleanse yourself." He cleansed himself and he started reading the Holy Quran. He's apparently, and what happened is, that he opened up the page and he came upon the beginning passage of Taha. He read one page. And when he came to the ayat, "Innani anallah, la ilaha illa ana fa'abudni," "I am your Allah, I am your Lord, worship only me and only turn your attention towards me," his life had changed. He became a Muslim and he told his sister, "Let take me to Muhammad to accept Islam." Hazrat Khubayb radiallahu anhu, who was teaching him, he came out of the room and said, "Congratulations to you, Umar. Just few days back, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to add in his dua, 'Allahumma ayyir al-Islam bi Amr ibn Hisham or Amr ibn Khattab.' Oh Allah, help and assist Islam either by Amr ibn Hisham," meaning Abu Jahl, "or Umar ibn Khattab. It seems Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted his dua and you are accepting Islam." When he came towards Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was close by. And he said, "If he comes with good intention, let him come. But if he come with any other intentions, we will deal with him." Umar ibn Khattab comes and he accepts Islam. When he accepts Islam, the Muslims who had gathered there, they shouted takbir. Such a takbir that the people of Makkah even heard this takbir. Narrations make mention that never mind the people of Makkah. Even Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came down with a wahi. And Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came down to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, "O Prophet of Almighty Allah, inna ahla samai, the people of the heavens, yastabshiruka bi Islami Umar, they give you glad tidings and congratulate you upon the acceptance of Islam by Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu." His Umar's acceptance of Islam was a remarkable incident. It gave the Muslims great amount of morale. Previously, they couldn't make salat in the masjid. With Umar ibn Khattab, they started performing salat in the Kaaba in the Baytullah. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu used to say, the Islam of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu was a remarkable and amazing incident which gave tremendous courage to the Muslims. The hijrat of Umar ibn Khattab was a tremendous reinforcement, and his khilafat was a very great boon and a very great favor for the Muslims. From the time he accepted Islam, his whole life was devoted now to the propagation and to the upholding of the commands of Almighty Allah. And there were very remarkable type of things with Umar ibn Khattab. Some of the salient features about him was, one of them was, Allah Ta'ala had granted him an amazing foresight. Such a foresight that his opinion many a times coincided with the commands of Almighty Allah. were the wishes of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not one, many occasions. The ulama have counted 22 occasions. When Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu gave an opinion, and thereafter the Quran and Hadith affirmed him. Although he, out of humility, used to say, my opinion coincided with the opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many occasions it happened. So amongst those was when there was a mashura of how do we call people to salat. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu said, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, instead of us following the ways of the other religions, let us tell someone to call out the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard him, and then the wahi affirmed what Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had given his opinion. Then again, when Abdullah bin Ubay, the munafiq, the hypocrite, when his janaza was placed and Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went forward to perform his janaza, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu objected and said, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, how are you going to perform the janaza of such a hypocrite? And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Umar, let me do it. Perhaps Allah will forgive him because of my doing it. Allah ta'ala revealed the ayat, وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتٍ. Do not perform salat of such munafiqs and hypocrites, and do not even stand upon the qabr. After one particular, the Hajj or the Umrah, Umar radiallahu anhu came and said, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam had made such sacrifice. He had put up and built the Kaaba. It is my desire that now when we perform the two rakats after Umrah, we perform it behind Maqam Ibrahim. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Umar, I also desire, but I have to wait for the wahi to come. Allah Ta'ala revealed, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُسَلَّى. And these were many other things. When there was a slander against Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and people started, you know, passing wrong information and rumors about the morality of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, when the first time it came to the attention of Umar, he said, Subhanaka hadha buhtanun azim. Glory be to Allah, this is manifest error. This is an accusation, this is a slander, which has no truth. That particular phrase has become part of the Holy Quran. 22 occasions. That is why Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, لو كان بعدي نبي لكان عمر ابن خطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه. If there had to be a Nabi after me, it would have been Umar ibn Khattab رضي الله تعالى عنه. If there had to be a Nabi. But Nabuwat has been close with me, and therefore there would be no Nabi. And that is the reason why the Ahle Sunnah wal Jamaat, they put special emphasis upon the opinions of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In the matter of Taraweeh, for example, it is the following of the opinion of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu that by and large people read 20 rakats because of his opinion. Because of his great foresight, the Ahle Sunnah wal Jamaat have taken many of his opinions. Another feature of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu was what Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, and many a times we read in the khutbah, Ashadduhum fi amri Allahi Umar. He was severe upon the commands of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was so passionate about the commands of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he couldn't bear seeing any wrong. And because of that, this is what he came to be known for. How many times it happened? On one occasion, there was a wedding that in the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the girls of the Ansar were busy singing some poetry. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, they continued singing poetry. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala came, they continued singing poetry. But when Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala came, they scattered and they started moving away. So Umar said, why are you scattering and why are you moving away? The Nabi of Allah came, you didn't move. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Umar, leave them, that you are such a person. Man, will you take one particular path? If you take a path, and if you take a road, even shaitan takes another path. He doesn't want to confront you, Umar. Even shaitan takes another path. Ashadduhum fi umrillahi Umar. He was very, very severe, and you know, with regard to the commands of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a well-known saying that the whip of Umar was even more powerful than the sword of others. He used to go in the streets, and when he saw something that was wrong, it hurt him tremendously. It was because of his great personality and his concern for the commands of Allah Ta'ala that he couldn't bear seeing anything, any wrong. Such was his harshness upon right, not upon wrong. His compassion I will make mention of later on. That even the governors, when he used to appoint them, they used to fear with regard to accounting to Umar ibn Khattab that they should not do anything that is untowards, or that anything that would lead to them abusing the public funds or abusing their positions. Such was his towering personality that Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, such a great general, never mind the history of Islam, in the history of humanity perhaps, human beings have not seen a general in the battlefield like Khalid bin Walid. And when he had made much of the early conquering of the Roman and Persian Empire, when Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala came, the first thing he did was, amongst the first things he did, he removed Khalid from the generalship of the army. People were surprised. It was only the towering personality of Umar that could have done such a thing. And what was his reason for giving this? People said, Umar, how can you remove Khalid? And what did he say? What a remarkable thing he said. He said, people are starting to say that Islam is gaining victory because of the brilliance of Khalid. I want to show people that Islam doesn't gain victory because of an individual, because of a personality. Islam is greater than all personalities. Islam is greater than you and I. And Islam is something that we need Islam, not Islam need us. So he said, people are starting to say, Khalid, Islam is gaining victory because of Khalid. I want to show people, Islam will gain victory with or without Khalid bin Walid. And Hazrat Mu'ab al-Hasan, Nabi Rahmatullah Ali, one day gave a talk on the day of Eid with regard to sacrifice. So he said there are various types of sacrifices. And he made mention of this particular incident. And he said, when someone went to Khalid bin Walid and said, Umar has sacked you, Umar has removed you, how can you still fight in the army after you have been removed? What did Khalid said? Since when am I fighting for Umar? Since when am I fighting for Umar? I'm fighting for Allah, whether I'm in the leadership of the army or whether I'm an ordinary soldier. He said, that is a sacrifice, something that is required to look beyond your individual self. You're beyond your own organization for the sake of the deen of Allah. Today, that is very, very sorely lacking amongst us. We think our individual self is more important than the deen. So this is how he did. This was his ashaddum fi amrillahi Umar. So this was another thing. Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi made mention that one of the reasons why, you know, from Allah Ta'ala's side, so Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, who was a khalifa, he was a very more reserved or more compassionate khalifa. So the general that you needed was someone who was strong because they complemented one another. On the other hand, when Umar ibn radiallahu ta'ala became the khalifa, he was a very strong personality. So the general that you needed someone who was not as harsh and severe, was more compassionate, so that they could complement one another. So you see in leadership also sometimes, you need different type of personalities. So be as it may, when Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala became and assumed the Khilafat, his Khilafat was such a great boon. He was an administrator par excellence. Another thing that we learn from the life of Umar, today we feel that life and deen is only about ibadat, not about worrying about administration of matters. But you look at the life of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. The ulama have said 41 things he initiated in his khilafat. 41 things. Amongst them was that together with the conquering of and expanding of Islam, Qadisiyah led to the fall of the Persian Empire. Yarmouk led to the fall of the Roman Empire. Islam became the dominant power in the time of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. Sayyid Sulman Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi writes that put Pakistan, India, Bangladesh together. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu ruled over a land 11 times more than that. India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, 11 times more than that. Umar radiallahu ta'ala was a khalifa of that particular. Together with that, what was his? He established cities for the growing population. So Kufa, Basra, Fustat, which is near Cairo, came into being in the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He established pensions for the people who were working for the state. Today, what is our situation with regard to a person who will work for a company or work for someone for 30, 40 years? When he leaves with his coat. Umar radiallahu ta'ala established pensions. It is not the way of the kuffar. Umar radiallahu ta'ala established this. He established pensions. He established special stipends for the people who were old, who could not fend for themselves, who couldn't earn risk for themselves. Umar radiallahu ta'ala make a special stipend that those who cannot fend for themselves, they will be looked after by the community and they will be looked after by the states. Cities were found. Regular armies were established in the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. The police force were established. Jails were established. Even the Islamic calendar started in the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. All this was in the time of Umar. But together with being an administrator par excellence, the responsibility that he had is absolutely amazing. He had such great, you know, responsibility about leadership, that if only we can have 1/10 of that, we will find very, very great strides will be done by the Muslim Ummah. His administration was characterized by justice and fairness. So when the son of the governor of Egypt, beat a non-Muslim Coptic Christian across the back, When Umar came to know about it, he summoned the Khalifa, the governor and his son. And after establishing the fact, he told the non-Muslim, the way he had striped you across the back, you do the same thing. You do the same thing. And this, and he told Amr ibn Az, the governor of Egypt, whose son had done such a thing. He said, "Oh Amr, since when have you enslaved people?" Which people? Even a non-Muslim. وَقَدْ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ أَحْرَارًا. When their mothers gave birth to them as free people. Justice was a forte of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then together with that, responsibility. He used to say, لَوْ مَاتَ جَمَلٌ عَلَى شَتِّ الْفِرَاتِ لَخَشِيتُ أَن يَسْأَلَنِي اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. If a camel have to die of hunger on the bank of Euphrates River, while I'm in Medina, I'm afraid Allah will call me on the day of Qiyamah and say, "Oh Umar, how did a camel die of hunger while you were in authority over the lands?" Today leaders are there. People are dying of starvation in a country. Leaders care nothing. He said, even if a camel had to die, I'm afraid Allah Ta'ala will question me on the day of Qiyamah. Another thing with regard to him was his compassion for his subjects. He used to walk around looking for people who were poor, people who were needy, and then he used to assist them. Very well-known incidents with regard to it. I don't have the time to go make mention. On one occasion, he saw a group of children who were hungry. He went to the Baytul Mal to go and fetch flour, and he sat till the end till he fed them. And after he fed them, when he saw them smiling, he came away. When his servant said, "Why did you stay for so long?" He said, "I saw them crying. I wanted to see them smiling. I saw them crying out of hunger. I wanted to see them smiling after being fed." You know, such was he. One day a Baddu came to him when he was doing his own personal work. He had certain times he used to look at the needs of people, and certain times he used to do his own work. That Baddu came at an inopportune time, at a time when he was not supposed to come. Umar became angry and whipped him across the back. Umar whipped him up. After a while he felt ashamed. He called him back and said, "Give me another whip. The way I hit you, you hit me back." He said, "Why?" He said, "No, I shouldn't have hit you." And then he addressed Allah Ta'ala and said, "You were weak, Allah elevated you. You were astray, Allah guided you. Allah made you in authority over people. Now when you're in authority over people, do you oppress them like this? How can you oppress people like that?" Such was his concern and compassion. And that is why one day when he was returning back from his last Hajj, he saw the moon. And he looked at the moon and he said, "Look at this moon. It comes to its full strength, and after coming to its full strength, it gradually dissipates until it becomes very weak and very small and tiny." That is the situation with regard to mortals. And then he made dua to Almighty Allah. "Oh Allah, I'm growing old and I'm growing weak. Take me before I falter in my obligations. Take me towards you before I falter in my obligations." Umar radiallahu anhu used to make a dua, "Oh Allah, let me die in the path of Almighty Allah, but let me die in the city of Medina." People used to say, "How is it going to happen?" But it happened. A non-Muslim, a person, he stabbed Umar radiallahu anhu, and then he was mortally wounded. In that particular mortally wounded state, he still was so, you know, keeping in mind the commands of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He used to tell people, "Even no matter how sick I am, you at the time of Salat, remind me of my Salat, I will perform Salat no matter what my position is." He used to tell his people that he who does not uphold Salat, he has no portion in Islam. He mustn't talk about Islam. And this is a reality, my dear respected brothers. Anyone who can't perform his 5 times daily Salat mustn't talk about the glory of Islam. Because he's not serious. If a person can't read his 5 times daily Salat, he got no right to talk about the beauty and the glory of Islam. Because he can't be serious. If he is serious, the first thing he must do is perform his 5 times daily salat. And Umar radiallahu anhu used to tell the people, there is no portion in Islam for a person who doesn't perform his 5 times daily salat. Even in such a situation. And then when he came close to his time of death, you know, there was 2 things that happened, and I will conclude with this. One is, he was so, you know, aware of his responsibility. He said that, "Go and tell Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And when you go and tell Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, don't tell her, Umar, the Amirul Mu'mineen has requested. Go and tell her, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu has requested. That I want to be buried in the same room where my former companions, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is buried. But don't go and say the Khalifa has requested. Because then she will take it as if it is a command from the Khalifa. And I'm an ordinary mortal at this particular stage. Go and tell her that Umar ibn Khattab has requested." And when she has succeeded in the positive, he even told his son, "After I die, when you take my janazah, go and ask Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala again. Perhaps she might have given permission due to the fact that I'm still alive. She will have no fear after I have passed on. If she exceeds, then bury me there in that room with Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. If not, bury me in the Qabristan of the Muslims in Jannatul Baqi. When he was about to die, his head was on the lap of his son Abdullah ibn Umar. And he told his son, "Oh my son, don't put me on your lap. Leave me on the ground." And then he put his face on the ground and he rubbed his cheeks on the ground. And he said, "Destruction be your lot, Ibn Khattab, if Allah doesn't forgive you. With all your greatness and all being the Khalifa, look at his humility and fear of Allah." Even at such a state when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Umar fil Jannah, Umar is in Jannah." When he is dying, he said, "Oh Ibn Khattab, your destruction be your lot if Allah doesn't forgive you." Today we do 2 rakahs namaz extra, we feel we are the walis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the humility of Ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. After he passed away, At-Tibrani makes mention that one sahabi says that I was carrying the janazah of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu when I heard a person saying, "Rahimallahu ya Ibn Khattab. May Allah have mercy upon you, Ibn Khattab." Whenever we heard the Prophet of Allah speaking, we always heard him saying, "Me, Abu Bakr and Umar, we did this. Me, Abu Bakr and Umar, we went here. Me, Abu Bakr and Umar, we did this, we did that, we did this." He said, "I turned around to see who it was. I saw the person who was saying was none other than Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu." And this was a person. And that is how his whole life was with Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was buried also with Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah ta'ala elevate his status. May Allah ta'ala give us a small inspiration of following in the footsteps of such great personalities. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.